Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. We're so glad to have you with us. And today, Rick continues in his series called Transform. Together, we'll dive into God's Word and discover powerful principles that can truly change our lives from the inside out. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. You'll experience how God's truth brings real transformation to every part of your life. All right, well, here's Rick with the final part of a message called How to Deal with How You Feel.
You've got to name it. Here's what I'm feeling, and here's the trigger, and then you've got to challenge it. What's the real reason I feel this way? Is it true? Is it helping me, or is it hurting me? And then the third thing you got to do is you've got to tame it or change it. You've got to change it. You've got to make the change in the emotion that you want to make when you have that unwanted emotion. Now, as I said, last week we talked about managing your mind. This week we're talking about managing your heart. If you want to succeed in life, you must learn how to master your moods. And when you have a mood, when you have an emotion that isn't getting you where you want to get, you got two options. You either change it or you channel it. Change it or channel it. Let me talk to you about both of these things. Some emotions are so destructive, so damaging, so hurtful, so non-effective, the only attitude, only thing you can do is just change it. You got to change what you're feeling. Philippians 2:5 says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So your attitude, that includes your emotions, what you're feeling, should be the same as that of Jesus. So you ask yourself, how would Jesus feel in this situation? Would Jesus get irritated with this waitress? No. Would Jesus be yelling at the person? No. Would Jesus be giving up, wringing his hands, and worrying that it isn't all going to work out? No. Would Jesus be fearful? No. Would Jesus be worried? No. So the bottom line on this one is, I instantly dismiss any feeling that doesn't make me more like Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus. So if I'm feeling an emotion, I've identified it, and I go, would Jesus have this emotion? No. Then that's not the way I should be responding to my wife right now, because Jesus wouldn't respond that way. So I instantly dismiss any feeling. Jesus would not be prideful. Jesus would not be envious. Jesus would not be bitter. Jesus would not be enraged. I would instantly drop that attitude. But sometimes you can even take a negative emotion that you're feeling, and rather than change it, you channel it. You channel it. What does that mean? You use it for good. For instance, let's say you have been the victim of injustice. You have experienced prejudice, maybe racial profiling. You have experienced unfairness in the classroom. Unfairness because you're a man or a woman or a different color from somebody else or whatever. But you've had something unfair in your life. And you naturally, the emotion's going to come up in you is anger. That's a legitimate response. Is my anger going to get me what I want? Probably not. But can my anger be used for good to help other people? Yes. And all of a sudden, you become a champion for justice because you know what it means to have experienced injustice. Does that make sense? And so you take a negative emotion, anger, and when you use your anger for your benefit, that's selfish anger. That's a sin. When you use your anger for the benefit of other people, that's righteous anger. See, anger is not a sin. The Bible says in Scripture, be angry and sin not. It's what you do with that anger, and it's the reason you're angry that makes it either sin or not. You can get angry. If somebody hurt my wife and kids, I'd get angry. Because anger is sometimes an evidence of love. If you never get angry about anything, it means you're apathetic. It means you have no love in your life. Because if you love something or someone and somebody hurts them, you're going to get angry. That's the natural thing. Love gets angry. God gets angry. And the only reason you have the ability to get angry is because God gets angry. God gets angry at sin. God gets angry at evil. God gets angry when women are raped. God gets angry when children are molested. God gets angry when people are abused and misused and injustice. And so you could take a negative emotion and you can use it in a positive way. Let me give you another example. Many of you have wanted to be married, and it just didn't happen. And your love has been blocked to date. Some of you are married and you've wanted to have children, and it hasn't happened. And your love has been blocked to date. What do you do with a blocked love? Do you pull yourself back into a prison, lock the door, pull up the drawbridge, fill the moat with alligators, and say, I'm never going to let anybody hurt me again? No. What do you do? What do you do with a blocked love? You rechannel it. Maybe you didn't get to love the person you wanted to love, but the world is full of people who need your love. Maybe you didn't get to have the children you wanted to have, but there's 137 million orphans in the world. And there are children on your street who need your love. You rechannel a blocked love. You use it for good. You don't stew in your hurt. You use it for good. If you don't change emotion, you channel the emotion. And you use it for good. When Matthew died, I entered into the most deep possible grief you could imagine. I'm still not out of it. And I cry every day for the death of my son and the loss of his life. But I decided from the first moment that I was going to channel that grief for good. And that I would use my pain to help other people. And Kay did too. And we have been doing it. Because I'm not about to waste a hurt. I'm not about to waste any pain that I go through. If I'm going to have it, I'm going to use it for good. What pain in your life are you using for good? Maybe you have been in so much pain, you didn't even want to talk about it. Then you need to learn to manage your emotions. You need to name it, you need to challenge it, and then you need to channel it. If you're not going to change it, and use it for good. And God can use it in your life. Your greatest ministry could come out of your deepest pain. Your greatest ministry will not come out of your strengths and successes. You do your strengths and successes, people just go, well, goody for you. You're good at it. But if it comes out of your pain, then it can help others. So you change it or you channel it. Now, what about those ones that need changing? How do you tame a wild emotion? You say, I am a worrier and I cannot stop worrying. And I can't stop that emotion. I just worry. I am a perfectionist and I can't stop it. I just criticize and judge and pick and nag. And I am lazy and I just tend to be lazy. All these emotions in my mind, fear, I'm a fearful person. Anger. I'm a naturally angry person and I lose my temper. I either blow up or I clam up, and there are different kinds of, there's Mount Vesuvius and there's the mute and there's the martyr, poor me. There's lots of ways, but it's a problem in your life. How do you tame a wild emotion? Well, not by willpower. Not by willpower. The Bible says this in Zechariah 4:6. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty, Zechariah 4:6. You don't change an emotion by willpower. I'm going to force this change emotion. It doesn't work that way. He says it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Well, how does that happen? How do you let the Holy Spirit change an emotion that's hurting you and hurting other people in your life? Let me give you two final suggestions. Two starter suggestions. Number one, every day ask God to fill me with His Spirit. Every single day, I don't get out of bed. My feet don't touch the ground without me saying, Holy Spirit, fill me today. I need your Spirit in my life. Because it's not by might nor my power, not willpower, but by my Spirit, I'm going to be able to manage my moods and my emotions today. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace. We could stop right there. I'll just take those three. My life would be a whole lot better if my life was just filled with love, joy, and peace, wouldn't yours? But there's nine of them here. Nine fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. Patience. Anybody need that one? Kindness. You are kind when the Holy Spirit fills your life. When you're unkind, there's no way the Holy Spirit is filling your life. The Holy Spirit does not motivate unkindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You're gentle when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're gentle with kids. You're gentle with your spouse. You're gentle with your customers. And notice the last one. Number nine is what? Self-control. Circle that. Self-control comes from God control. Self-control comes from God control. The more I let God control my mind and emotions, the more self-control I have. I don't become a religious nut. I become more self-controlled. A lot of people think, if I let the Holy Spirit fill my life, they're going to turn me into some nut religious fanatic. No, if you let the Holy Spirit fill your life, you get more self-control than you've ever had in your life. That's a good thing. Now, it says, when the Holy Spirit controls our life, He fills you with this. When you're filled with love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, that's a whole lot better than being filled with anger, worry, fear, guilt, shame, worry, and all these other things. So what about it? When you're put under pressure at work, at home, or anywhere else, do you know what comes out of you? Whatever's inside you. And if you're filled with worry, fear, doubt, loneliness, envy, jealousy, bitterness, gossip, when the world puts on pressure, you know what's going to come out? Worry, fear, doubt, anger, ego, and all those things. But when you're filled with the Spirit and the world puts pressure on you, you know what's going to come out? Love, joy, peace, patience. If I take a bottle of shampoo and I squeeze that bottle, what comes out? Shampoo. If I take a tube of toothpaste and I squeeze it, what's come out? Toothpaste. Peanut butter doesn't come out, toothpaste comes out. Why? Because whatever's in it comes out when it's under pressure. That's true of your life. Whatever's in you comes out when you're under pressure. And the more pressure you get, you see, when I'm full of myself, almost anything can tick me off. When I'm full of God, nothing can tick me off. I'm filled with love and joy and peace. Doesn't matter what happens. I can handle it. This is nothing. I can just handle anything. So whatever's inside of you is going to come out. So the first key to management of emotions is to be filled with the Spirit so that you're full of love and joy. It's like if you got a cup of coffee and you shake it, whatever's going to come out is what's in it. Be filled with the Spirit. And that's what's going to come out in your emotions. Number two, the other thing to do, not only every day ask God to fill me with the Spirit, but every day ask God to help me manage my mouth. You knew I was going to get to this one. Every day I ask God to help me manage my mouth. When I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, put a guard on my mouth. Just zip it up. Don't let me say stuff. The Bible says in the multitude of words, there is sin. Proverbs 13:3 says this, self-control means controlling the tongue. Now, this is what the whole chapter in the book of James is about. There's a whole chapter in the book of James on the power of your words and your tongue. And it says, you know, a giant horse, you could have a rider on the horse that weighs 1/4 the weight of the horse, and yet it's controlling the horse. Why? Because there's a bit in the horse's mouth. And when wherever the mouth goes, the horse is going. Same's true with you. The Bible says that your tongue is like the rudder on a big ship. Little tiny rudder can direct the big ship in any direction. And the tongue is the rudder of your life. What you say is where you're going to go. And you're not going to experience what God wants you to have until you say what God wants you to say. So you say, Lord, help me to manage my mouth. Now here's the last key. Write this down. Make God's word my word. Make God's word my word. In other words, begin to put the words of the Bible into your mind. Memorize some verses. Write them down on little cards and memorize them. Write underline verses in your Bible. Read the Bible every day. Listen to the Bible. Get the word of God in you every day. Feed yourself on the word of God, because then when his word becomes your word, you're going to see miracles take place in your life. Psalm 119:11 says this, I have hidden your word in my heart. What's your heart? That's where your emotions are. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Notice the connection between your heart and your mouth. What's inside your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Jesus said, it's not what goes in you that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you that makes you unclean. And my heart is revealed in my words. So some of you, what you need to say is, God, I need a heart transplant. I've had a bitter heart. I've had a worried heart. I've had an angry heart. I've had a lonely heart. I've had a prideful heart. I've had an arrogant heart. God, I've had a jealous heart. I've had an envious heart. I've had an impatient heart. God, I need a heart transplant. And when you say that to God, and you say, fill me with your spirit, he'll put a new heart inside of you. And when you get a new heart, you get new words. And your words direct your life. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you that you are an emotional God. I thank you that you gave us the ability to feel, that we're not robots, that we're not unfeeling, uncaring, that we can experience both highs and lows in life. Help us to avoid the extremes of emotionalism, that all that matters is how I feel, and stoicism of feeling that things aren't important. Feelings aren't important at all. I thank you for the book of Psalms that show us that every emotion actually is understood by you, and that you can give us the power to change it or to channel it. Now you pray. Say, Lord, I know that my feelings are often unreliable. And I don't want to build my life on feelings. I want to build my life on your truth. I don't want to be manipulated by other people or by Satan. Or I don't want to be manipulated even by my own old nature. But I want to be self-controlled and alert. More than that, Lord, I want to please you. And I want to do the things that please you. And I want you to be the Lord of my emotions. And I want to succeed in life by being controlled by your will, not by my feelings. So help me to practice what I've just learned this week. When I start to get upset or when I feel overwhelmed by a very strong emotion, help me to name it. Help me to figure out, what am I really feeling, and what's the trigger? What triggered me? And why am I feeling this way? You've said in your word that wisdom gives a man patience. Help me to understand my emotions and where they came from. And then, Lord, help me to challenge my emotions, to not automatically accept them as the gospel truth, but to ask, is it true? And is it helpful? And is holding on to this emotion going to get me the result I need? Help me to realize the real reason that I feel what I'm feeling, and to challenge my emotions and not just automatically accept them. And then help me to change or channel what needs to be changed and channel what could be used for good. Dear God, beginning right now, I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want my life to be filled with love, not hate, with peace, not chaos, with joy, not sorrow, and with patience, not impatience. Lord, I want to be kind. Fill me with goodness. Fill me with faith. Fill me with gentleness. Fill me with self-control. Help me to develop the habit of asking you to fill me moment by moment. And then, Lord, most of all, I ask you to help me to manage my mouth. May I learn to put your words in my mouth and to speak the word of truth. In your name I pray. Amen.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we're told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing how when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it, and we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
You know, when you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere.
And right now, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. So please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.